Bhaktivinanta Goswami Maharaj Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya Mishnabhati Ra Paramahamsa Vrakacharya Sattara Shishimachi Ra Bhakti Siddhanta Sarati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki Anantra Goti Shri Vaishnavrinda ki jaya Namachari Charidas Thakur ki jaya Srimati Goti Krishna Chaitanya Paramatananda Shri Adhedi Girara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti ki jaya Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopana Sham Kunrarakan Giri Govardhan ki jai Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai Shri Ma Bhagavatam Mahapuran ki jai Shri Ma Bhagavad Gita ki jai Bhakti Granth Purpose ki jai Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai Gopremanand All Lord Samadavari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Naram Jivan Rotamam
Devam
Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Naista Prayasya Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Yatam Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistake Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer our respectful obeisances on the personality of God and Narayan, on the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, on the Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and on the Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering services unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome within the heart becomes practically destroyed almost to nil. And transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental hymns, comes into being established as an irrevocable fact. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, text 36. I think we missed a couple of verses out. Avayavai Udara 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 Asa Asa Sikshita Rama Shukta Prita Atmana Prita Pranan Cha Bhakti Anishita Me Gatim Hamdin Payungte. Tadashini Avayave Udara Vilasa Shikha Vilasa Shikha Vilasa Shishita Vamana Shukta Ritatmano Ritapranam Shabhakti Anichato Megatim Mavim Drayunte Thayradashini Avayavir Dara Vilasa Shishita Vamana Shukta Ritatmano Ritapranam Shabhakti Anichato Megatim Mandin Prayunte Thaydarshaniya Vayavirutara Vilasa Shishita Vamasukta Ritatmano Rita Pranam Shabhakte Anichato Megatim Mandin Prayunte. Hey, by those forms, Darshaniya, charming, Avayavai, whose limbs, Udara, exalted, Vilasa, pastime, Asa, smiling, Ikshita, glances, Vama, pleasing, Shukta, whose delightful words, Prita, captivated, Atmana, their minds, Prita, captivated, Pranan, their senses, Cha, and Bhakti, devotional service, Anichita, unwilling, Me, my, Gatim, abode, Andin, subtle, Prayunte,
secured. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing His very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Please repeat, upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord,
smiling and attractive,
and hearing His very pleasing words, the pure devotee
almost loses all other consciousness.
His senses are freed from all other engagements. And he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Therefore, by Srila Prabhupada, there are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Simply by discharging uncontaminated devotional service, as prescribed in the scripture, one becomes equal to Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita it says, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. This means that the living entity in his original state is Brahman, because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature as an eternal servant of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captured by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servant of the Lord, the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee, who is not advanced in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in a temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity, becomes imperceptibly liberated. Shraddha Dhyan Vita. With great devotion, the devotees offer worship, respects, and paraphernalia to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, and Ram and Sita are very attractive to devotees. So much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thoughts of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed therewith that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position above those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Sukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations, and by the aroma of tulsi offered to the Lord. And they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. Here the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some other similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is a system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita
get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain absorbed in the thought of the Lord, His form, His activities, and His transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated state. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended 5 important processes in the discharge of devotional service. 1. You chant the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 2. To associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. 3. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. 4. To see the decorated temple and the deity. And if possible, 5. To live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These 5 items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional state. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The third class devotee can also imperceptibly achieve liberation, and this is accepted in all Vedic literature. Tayadashiniya Vayavirudara Vilashakshekshitava Mashukte Kritatmano Nitapranam Chidabhakte Anichatome Vatemavim Prayungte. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing His very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his own willingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Om Ajnanatamanandasya Jnanangana Salataya Chakshurum Militamira Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Sri Chaitanya Manomita Javitam Viram Bhutale Sayam Rupa Gita Maya Ditati Swam Batanditam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadaita Garada Shivasri Gaura Bhakti Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll read a few verses. Shri Maitreya said, after hearing the statement of his mother, Kapila could understand her purpose, and he became compassionate towards her because of his being born of her body. He described the Sankhya system of philosophy, which is a combination of devotional service and mystic realization, as received by disciplic succession. Lord Kapila said, the senses are symbolic representation of the demigods, and their natural inclination is to work under the direction of Vedic injunction. As the senses are representatives of the demigods, so the mind is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mind's natural duty is to serve. When the service spirit is engaged in devotional service to the Personality of Godhead without any motive, that is far better even than salvation. So the senses are the symbolic representation of the demigods, and their natural inclination is to work under the direction of Vedic injunctions. So, one has to understand, first of all, where form is coming from, because we can understand that in the material world, the attachment is to different types of forms. Just like someone is very attached to their children, their wife, their family, their house, their car, so many different things. So, originally that attachment is there for Krishna. That original attachment is there because each individual form, each individual living entity is created to love Krishna, to love God. And this love, when this love becomes perverted, or when this love becomes wrongly manifested, then the love becomes reduced. The loving propensity, just like Prabhupada gives the example, water, when it comes in contact with the cold atmosphere, becomes ice. So the water becomes suspended, the liquidity, the fluency. It becomes suspended on account of association. So similarly, consciousness becomes in a state of suspended animation. This is described in the Bhagavad Gita, that the soul is in a state of suspended animation. We think that we are animate, but actually we are inanimate. We are absorbed in the inanimate material world. Material world means inanimate. What is the meaning of inanimate? It means there is very little animation. The different types of consciousness in the material world are different states of animation. Just like a tree has very little animation on account of its gross consciousness. Tree is a very gross state of consciousness. So on account of that dullness, the tree is dead, practically dead. The tree does not move, neither can a tree talk to you. Although some people do talk to trees. But trees don't talk back. Because the tree is in a very gross state, just like concrete. Concrete is a very gross. If you try to have a relationship with a concrete statue, it will be a little difficult, isn't it? Suppose someone says, I met a very nice girl, but she's made of concrete. So what sort of a relationship can you have with the concrete? Has anyone tried a relationship with concrete? But still we see, even concrete, there can be some relationship. Some people like to have a big concrete house, isn't it? So they say, look at my big concrete house. So, a skyscraper building. So having a relationship with the concrete is a very dull relationship, isn't it? Dull. Matter is very dull. All of our relationships in the material world are very dull. Familiarity breeds contempt. Actually, material energy is contemptuous. Because when we become familiar, we find people are very dull. Isn't it? Oh, that person is very dull. So as soon as someone is found to be dull, we want to get rid of them. That's why sometimes people get married, and then they find out, oh, that person is very dull. I've married some dullhead. So they end up with someone dull and they think, oh, let me find a bit more lively. A different model. So they look for another wife. So actually in the material world, everything is very dull because it's dead. This is dead matter. Earth is dead, water is dead, fire is dead, air is dead, ether. These are all dead energies, but they're activated because of the presence of spirit. Just like your body is completely dead. But because your soul is in the body, therefore you think the body has life. So, consciousness, when it is present in matter, the matter is activated. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead glanced over material energy and impregnated consciousness. Just like the man impregnates the sperm into the egg. And then the egg becomes fertile, it becomes fertilized. So matter becomes fertilized by God. So we can see that there are different grades of consciousness. There is what is called Suddha, Suddha Sattva. Suddha Sattva means pure consciousness. Then lower than Suddha Sattva is sattvic consciousness. And then lower than Sattva is Raja. And then lower than Raja is what we call Tama, Tamasvik. So, in the material world, there is higher, then there is mediocre, and there is useless. Higher, mediocre, and useless. Mediocre. You say mediocre? So some people are higher, some people are very mediocre, and some people are useless. You will see this throughout the world. You can meet people of high consciousness. They have some quality. They may be very beautiful. They may be very good singers. They may be very good scientists. They may be very good intellectuals. They may be very good engineers. They have some higher principle. And then you meet people who are mediocre. Mediocre type people. They're not stupid and thick, but they're not very intelligent. They're kind of stuck halfway. They're never going to do anything much. And they're not exactly asleep. But then you meet people who are practically asleep. They're only a few degrees from asleep. Those people are very attracted to sleeping and getting intoxicated. They like to lie around a lot. And they're very prone to mental activity, which is dreaming. Prabhupada says dreaming state. So animals also, if you watch dogs and different animals, they're practically a few degrees above sleep. They lie there all day, and every now and again they nod off and wake up and nod off and wake up and nod off and wake up. And then every now and again they get excited because they see something, some food or sex. These are the things which excite them. The belly and the genitals, the tongue, belly and genitals. You'll find also in these countries, people like to sit around a lot, and every now and again they'll either talk or eat or have sex. These are the main activities of motive ignorance. They'll find something to talk about, usually just something that's twirling around in their head. Nothing of very consequence. Like they might see Mrs. Fluff. Mrs. Fluff is here, and they talk about Mrs. Fluff for 2 hours. And then Mr. Bojo comes, they talk about him. And then they see a bird fly past, and they talk about that. Or a car goes past, they talk about that. So this is a few degrees above sleepiness. So these are the qualities of the material world, the forms, the different types of consciousness. They are all different types of inanimate matter activated for a few years by consciousness, by the soul. So therefore, when people hear about God, they think that God must also be very boring if he's got a form. If God is a person, he must also be a little bit like us, a bit boring, Maybe we'll get fed up sitting with him, and he might talk about silly things. Or God may be also ugly. He may have some defects. Or God might be some megalomaniac, super passionate character. But generally people's idea of God is he must be something good. God should be good, isn't it? So generally you find in all religions the idea of God is that he should be good, he should be kind, he should do good to others, he should help people when they're in distress, he should look after the blind and help them across the road, and help people who are in poverty condition and give them food. Therefore they think that God should be a do-gooder. So they say, God, give us our daily bread. Even they give God some activity to do some good. Give us our daily bread. God, look after all the sick and the homeless and help the poor little children who lost their money. And help all those who are feeling bad today. If you go to a lot of churches, this will be their prayer. Their prayer will be there that God should help those. So generally the idea in the material world is to project some materialistic idea onto God. That this is called anthropomorphic, the idea of trying to project from the material onto the spiritual. So, many times people, they try to project some sort of mundane concept onto God. Therefore, it is very, very difficult for people to understand that God has form, that God has personality, that God has pastimes and activities. So when people think of God having pastimes, or God having form, or God living in a village like that, then generally their idea is to try and somehow relate it with the material world. So this is a very wrong idea, and therefore Krishna consciousness means it is a process of surrendering unto God. If we want to understand God, we cannot understand God by simply using our material mind. We cannot try and understand God by relating it somehow to some different type of material condition. For instance, because we are inadequate, we believe that God should be adequate. So therefore we have some idea of God as being very adequate. Because we are imperfect, we have some idea of God being perfect. Because we are very tiny, we have some idea of God being very great. But all of these ideas are useless. They are all just simply different types of mental speculation. They may give some idea to God, but they cannot. It will be like carrying a candle to illuminate the sun. Just like if you have a small little candle and you want to illuminate the sun. What is the use of your candle? What is the use of bringing your limited baggage from the material world to try to somehow add something to the spiritual world? What is the use of that? Suppose you think that there is something here that you can take and that will be some addition to the spiritual world. You might think, I've seen someone great, oh, so God must be like that. Or because I've seen form, therefore God should have form like that. But all of these ideas are useless when we try to deal with the subject matter of God. So therefore, this type of mental speculation has no real practical asset when approaching the Absolute Truth. Therefore, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in His deity form, then the deity of the Lord should not be approached in order that one can, if you like, analyze the deity by using the dead eyeball. The eyeball is actually a dead material thing. So just because you are able to see through the eyeball does not mean that you're able to see God. So that's why Lord Brahma says, Pramandira Charita Bhakti Valo Chareya Shanda Sadaiva Hridayeshi Valo Kayanti Yam Sham Sundaram, that if one wants to actually see God, if one wants to understand God, then one must approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna is advising in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadviri Paripatena Paripashena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnana Janina Tatvadarshana, that one should be that one has to give up all material speculation on the mundane plane. That is why Krishna says, Sarvatamam Prityaja Mamekam Saranam Raja Hang Tang Sarvapabhavyo Mukshishami Masacha. Krishna says, give up all your religiosity, your piety. Give up all your so-called philosophical speculations. And what is Krishna demanding? Krishna is simply demanding that we surrender. Because without surrender, without complete surrender to Krishna, therefore Krishna says, Bahunam Jamanam Mante Gyanavamam Prabhajante Vasudeva Sanamriti Samahama Sudulabha, that as long as we are reliant upon the material for understanding the spiritual, we will be wasting our time. As long as we are trying to somehow bring God with some sort of material equipment, as long as we are trying to understand God by some sort of instrumentation, whose body is made up of material instruments. So therefore, normally, even so-called religiosity is another extension of materialism. We find that people in religion, they want some better facility. They want that God should somehow accommodate them better or give them some better facilities, some better material situation, that God should give them a nicer body, that God should give them some nicer situation. But this is not the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is purely dependent upon the quality of service and devotion. So here it is explained, Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. One, to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Two, to associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. Three, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Four, to see the decorated temple and the deity. And if possible, five, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These five items alone can help the devotee achieve the highest perfectional state. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these five processes are extremely important for making advancement in spiritual life. If you notice, none of these processes are based upon mental speculation. They are not based on any kind of jnana or upon any kind of karma. By karma, we want some sort of elevation. Everyone is performing activity for some kind of elevation. So we find that religion is also another aspiration for elevation. Therefore it's called moksha, or liberation. The living entity wants to go higher and higher in the material world, and then when he realizes no matter how high he goes, it's all miserable, then he wants to get out. Just like we can understand that the tendency for exploitation is we want that our exploitation should become better and better and better and better. Nobody wants their exploitation to become worse and worse and worse and worse. So we want our elevation to become better and better. So generally, in the lower stages, people want some material development in the form of economic development. And then as they get older, they see that economic development has made them completely unhappy, completely miserable, and completely problematic. Then they think that, okay, now I should try to chase after liberation. So they reject the mundane with the idea that there may be something better than the mundane. This is another form of exploitation. This is called liberation. Of course, someone who wants to become liberated, just like Prabhupada says, there may be A-class prisoner, B-class prisoner, C-class prisoner, but there may also be someone who's trying to escape. So trying to escape is better than trying to be A-class prisoner. So this moksha, or liberation, we find is there. People want to get out of the material world. But none of these things are equivalent to devotional service. Because here it describes what is the result from chanting Hare Krishna, what is the result from associating with devotees, what is the result from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the result from seeing the deity decorated in the temple, and what is the result of living in a place like Mathura and Vrindavan? There is only one result, and that is that one should develop a little love for Krishna. Because without developing attachment to Krishna, without developing love for Krishna, then there is no meaning to bhakti. There is no meaning to devotional service. So, therefore, Kapila Muni is describing how these things are very, very important. This looking on the deity, serving the deity, chanting the holy name, studying of Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, and performing menial service in a holy place, these things are very conducive to developing bhakti. Bhakti is not actually something we develop. Bhakti is already there. But at the moment, bhakti is blocked on account of the covering of the gross and the subtle envelopes which cover the soul. So at the moment, bhakti is pervertedly manifested through mental activity, physical activity, intellectual activity, egotistic activity. These are all, at the moment, distracting us from bhakti. They are distracting us from devotional service. So therefore, devotional service is assisted by jnana and vairagya. This jnana and vairagya must be there, because without vairagya and jnana, one may not be able to properly protect bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent on jnana and vairagya, but bhakti in a neophyte stage needs to be protected. So therefore, this vairagya and jnana increases shraddha, faith. Unless there is sufficient faith, One cannot control the senses. One cannot control the mind. Because when the faith becomes weak, immediately material attachments come in. As soon as your faith becomes weak, immediately sense gratification becomes predominant. Prabhupada says all of your problems in spiritual life are because of lack of faith. One time Prabhupada said in a morning walk, your main problem is none of you believe in Krishna. So this is our problem. First of all, we have to develop some faith. Otherwise, where is the question of love? Without faith, how can there be love? Just like, suppose a boy meets a girl. So, at the beginning, there's all sorts of doubts. Maybe this guy is a bit of a nutcase. Maybe he's a psychopath. Maybe he's a sex maniac. Maybe he's a thief. Maybe he's a lunatic. So many things. So initially, there's attraction to the body. That's the first thing, attraction. So this attraction is like sambandha. Sambandha means when there is an attraction or a unifying agent joining together. And then from that, one has to develop further faith. But unless there's association, how will the faith increase? You see? Just like if you meet someone for 5 minutes, and a year later you never saw them, and you say, oh, I'm madly in love with them. This is bogus. This is rubbish. Just like people say, oh, I love God. And then you say, what does he look like? They say, oh, I don't know. How can they love God without seeing God? How can you develop faith unless one is hearing and seeing? So, especially in the neophyte stage, this deity worship is very important because one can see Krishna. Krishna has very kindly come to be seen by the devotee. But with the seeing, there must also be knowledge. So this jnana must be increased so that one can understand why one is approaching God, why one is trying to fix up one's relationship with God. And there must also be vairagya, renunciation, because there are many things which are interfering with the path of bhakti. The main interference with bhakti is sense gratification. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that those who are too much attached to material sense gratification, for them the resolute determination of devotional service does not take place. Bhogashvarya. When one is bhogi, after bhoga, one wants to enjoy bhoga, bhogi yogi. What is bhogi yogi? Means one who is after bhoga, not prasada. One wants to enjoy bhoga. Bhoga means sense gratification. So these two things are going on in the material world. One is called bhoga, one is called tyaga. Bhoga tyaga. Sometimes we are trying to enjoy the material world, and then when we find that the grapes are sour, renunciation, tyaga. So, vairagya or tyaga is also important in spiritual life so as to allow bhakti to come forth. Because if one is too much attached to the material body, then he will have no time to serve Krishna. If one is too much attached to the material mind, then he will have no time to think about Krishna. If one is too much attached to the tongue, then he will have no time to chant Hare Krishna. We see this practically. If someone's too attached to the mind, then one likes to sleep a lot. So rather than chanting Hare Krishna, we would rather dream. Although we've been dreaming, In our life, we dream half our life. What good has it brought us? Can anyone mention any one dream that has brought him any benefit? Is there a dream that we can think of? Maybe 20 years ago we had this incredible dream and we've never stopped to benefit from that dream. The benefit was so much. Generally we know that these activities of the body, whether they are physical, mental, they're all useless activities. So therefore, as one is too much attached to dreaming, then he has no time for chanting and hearing. If one is too much attached to mundane association, then he has no time to associate with devotees. If one is too much attached to watching television, going to the movies, reading nonsense magazines, he has no time to go to the temple to worship the deity. Prabhupada said, my father, he was a cloth merchant. Prabhupada said his morning puja was 4 or 5 hours. He was so busy worshipping a deity, he would never go to work practically. But he managed somehow to maintain the family. Then in the evening, again he would come home and shower, and again he would worship the deity in the evening and read the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the nature of devotee. The nature of devotee is always to be attached to these five things. And if one has no attachment to these things, then one has no attachment to Krishna. Because these activities are not material, they are spiritual. So a living entity is marginal energy. Marginal means that he can be attracted to the mundane or he can be attracted to the spiritual. That is the meaning of marginal. So Prabhupada said, at any moment you can be dragged away by the material. The spiritual life is like a razor's edge. It is a very fine line. If you walk too much on the side of the material, you can disappear in one moment. We see this practically. A devotee is practicing for many, many years, and one nice little female comes, twinkles her eyes, and they're gone. Prabhupada said even the great Julius Caesar conquered practically most of the world, but one twinkle of the eyes of Cleopatra and he was finished. Mark Antony also. And 10,000 other men also. It is said that Cleopatra had sex life with 10,000 men. That's what they say. So she must have had pretty powerful eyebrows. So therefore, this twinkling of the eyes, this is Maya's infatuation, just like Prabhupada says. When they build a high security prison, they put in electronic fences and they have machine gun posts and they have so many different security sensors and keys and locks and doors. Sometimes there's like 5 different doors before you get to the cell. But Prabhupada says Maya is so wonderful, she simply created the female. And she keeps everyone here. And for the female, she created the male, and she keeps all the females here. So that's how powerful form is. Everyone is kept in the material world by a female form. The elephant is chasing the female. The lion is hanging out with the female. The hog is chasing after the females. The human is chasing after the females. Even the queen bee, isn't it? Keeps all the bees busy. Busy bees. Queen bee. Not king bee, queen bee. Isn't it? It's not the king bee that keeps all the bees. It's the queen bee. So this is the nature of the birds and bees. The material world, nature's book. Everyone is kept there by attachment to female. So therefore, one has to transfer that attachment to the beautiful form of Krishna. Otherwise, again, one has to take another type of material body. So this worship of the Supreme Lord in His transcendental form, His transcendental activity, it has no material relationship. It may seem very material, and one may think, why are these people worshiping statues? But the point is that Krishna has empowered This is called Acha Vigraha. The deity is the unlimited power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore the deity can deliver everyone back to home, back to Godhead. Therefore this deity worship is very important, and this is recommended, highly recommended by Lord Kapila Dev. Okay, we're finished here. Is there any questions? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapranam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.